a wild man.
I want you to struggle, and I want you wrestling with them angels.
Here he is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
The correct Jordan-Hare Stadium time is 9:35 p.m. Your digital audio device is still tuned into the Orange and Truth podcast. We thank and welcome you, Orange and Truthers. It is I, CenterCrow2 on Twitter, at CenterCrow on Venmo, bringing you that good, hot sports takes that you have come to this one spot so to consume. The one side of me, the Rivermonger, at Ryan S. Starrett. The S stands for still got a head coach.
The stupidest game I have ever seen in person in a good way.
To the other side of me, bringing you the full four-pin ASMR you pay us extra for, it is the AU Chief.
Good day. How do?
Guys, we're gonna open this up with a little 10-second free-for-all in which we each get 10 seconds on the clock to talk about whatever we want to talk about. It could be about the game we just watched last weekend. It could be about anything you want. So, Ryan, real quick, 10 seconds on the clock. 3, 2, 1, blast off.
We are 38 days away from the basketball exhibition against UAH. That's what's important.
All right. That's all I need. Thanks. Thanks, Ryan. Chief, 10 seconds on the clock. Ready? Go.
Hey, I've been listening to a Metallica podcast called Metal Leopard Podcast. It's real great. It's awesome. I'm having a kid in December, everybody.
Hey, congrats. Daughter.
So that's everyone here knew, but that's an announcement.
All right. 3, 2, 1. My turn. Guys, I'm watching this Rings of Power TV show, and it's not half bad. Here's what I've decided. Don't care about stuff too much. If you care a lot about Lord of the Rings, you might be disappointed with it. If you don't care a lot about it, it's a really good show.
Is your time up? Can we talk now?
My time's up.
Okay, you're about to fight with Chief here. So.
Nah, he can enjoy it. I don't have to enjoy it.
People enjoy things. People can enjoy things.
I don't have to watch it. I hope they don't make a second season, but it's fine.
Someone told me they're going to make 5 seasons of The Son of a Gun.
Ooh, I've heard views haven't been great on it, so we'll see if they do.
I think it's really nice. It's
not as good as Andor for sure.
It is gorgeous. Andor was good. I'll tell you that. Andor was good.
You should check out Andor.
Oh, I will. Okay. Rings of Power is so well shot, like it's gorgeous. So part of it's like you're watching just incredible cinematography. Well, you can tell they paid a lot of money for it.
That's what I like about the movies.
Right.
Like. I like everything about the movies except the writing, the things they move around, not as annoying. Things they add is really the only thing I have a problem with those. But like, as a technical achievement, those movies are incredible.
Yeah.
The CGI is not great. It doesn't hold up that great, but you know, it's
early 2000s.
Yeah, it's like anything. You just got to take it for what it is.
You know what else has not been great? Auburn soccer's at start to the SEC play.
Whew, man.
We've lost 3 games in a row at a score of 1-0.
I believe the terminology, 3 games on the bounce, I believe.
They are right. 3 games on the bounce. And it's not half bad. I mean it's not half good. Sorry. It's
just bad all around.
But they've lost to 2 teams that are not half bad. Number 20 Arkansas, number 13 Ole Miss. Our goalie is really good because this could be a lot worse than it was.
Getting shelled like every
day. Yeah. Braska is, she has 3 goals allowed in those games combined on a combined 17 shots on goal.
That's so crazy.
She's
and that's something like 50 total shots. Like it's an absurd number.
At some point, the dam breaks. You know, even when you have a great goal.
What's going on with our midfield here? This sounds like
that's what I want to know.
Midfield issue.
It is a midfield issue. You could well diagnosed. So we're gonna need better play out of the midfield. Sounds like the U.S. men's national team.
Sounds like Everton until just like a couple weeks ago.
Sounds like Dortmund.
Oh yeah.
Lord have mercy. Dortmund's everything from the center midfield all the way to the goalie has just been a disaster. But hey, top of the table for a bit there on Saturday. Okay. We're going to talk about that football game, but we're going to do it in an interesting way because Ryan has a game.
Are we doing youth group activities first? Or?
No, we're going to do the youth group activities later.
Okay.
Are we doing trust falls or?
No, we're going to do highs and lows.
All right. So I've got a little bit of a game and it's going to be a fun way to walk through what happened at the end of this amazing game, because even the first quarter was fine. Then the second and the third and most of the fourth, you could have slept through and not missed anything. Cause I think it was 8 straight punts from your Auburn Tigers. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you 6 plays from the end of the game.
Okay.
And I'm going to give you 6 EPA values, and I'm going to have you match them. And for those who don't know, EPA is expected points added. It's basically a measure of how much I'll trade definition about that. EPA uses expected points to measure the outcome of a play. It takes the expected point value from the beginning of a play, for example, 2nd and 5 from the 50, and subtracts it from the expected point value resulting from the play. For example, a rush of 10 yards that results in 1st and 10 from the 40. So there's a value at the start of the play, a value at the end of the play of how many points you would expect it to score on that given play. Does that kind of make sense? It's not going to be more than 7 or less than -7.
Seems right. Like a weird thing for football. Sounds like something.
Sounds like XG.
For like basketball or.
Sure.
But yeah, I think I understand.
I'll tell you what, to make this a little easier, I'll pull an example.
So if you lose 3 yards on a sack on 2nd and goal, you probably had a EPA of like minus something.
So the first play of the game, example, 1st and 10 at Missouri 25. Missouri runs the ball for 2 yards to the 27.
Okay.
Because you should be expected to do a little better than that. 2 yards is not great. It's not a success, right?
Right.
Their EPA is minus 0.7.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
So a positive example, 3rd and Auburn has the ball, 3rd and 12 at the 50. Robbie Ashford runs for 12 yards to the Missouri 38 for a 1st down. That EPA is positive 2.84.
Yeah.
Does that kind of give you a frame of reference now?
Yeah. Chief and I have liberal arts degrees.
Yeah.
We'll be great at this game.
All right. So these 6 plays are going to go in order of when they happened.
Okay.
Starting at 1.5 minutes left in the game.
All right.
4th and 1, Auburn ball, Missouri 29. Tank Bigsby rushes for minus 1 yard. Second play with 1:01 to go. Missouri ball, 2nd and 12 at the
Auburn. That was the play where I was like,
this dude wants to be fired.
Yeah, I didn't watch any of this game. Thank God.
We'll come back. We'll give some analysis on this at the end.
All right.
1st and 1, 2nd and 12, Missouri ball, Auburn 42. Dominic Lovett reception for 39 yards down to the 9-yard line. Sorry, the 3-yard line. With no time on the clock, 3rd and 8, Missouri ball at the Auburn 9. Harrison Bevis field goal missed. 4th play.
Who was the first team All-SEC kicker?
Borderline All-American, if I'm not mistaken.
In overtime, 4th and 12, Missouri 27, Auburn ball. Offsides by Missouri. So even penalties, even though they're not a snap, can have an EPA assigned to them.
Okay.
The next play, overtime, Auburn ball, 4th and 7 at the Missouri 22. Anders Carlson, field goal made.
Okay, when does the game start, this game that we're playing?
I'm just giving you the 6 plays.
Okay, sorry.
That was the 5th one. And then I'm going to give you the EPA values, and you're just going to be matching.
Okay, cool.
Oh, boy.
The last one. Overtime, 2nd and 5, Missouri ball at the Auburn 20. Nathaniel Peake fumbles into the end zone after a rush of 19 yards. So those are your 6 plays in order. The EPA values in from lowest to highest, minus 3.98, minus 2.76, minus 1.83, positive 0.41, positive 0.46, and a positive 4.03.
Positive 4.03. Give me the offsides of Missouri. That's going to be the highest EPA.
I say we work this out together.
These are in the show notes, guys. So if you do want to look there, it'll make.
Yeah, yeah, I'm looking at them now. I think it should be us versus Ryan on this.
Great, one. Great. I like this.
Yeah.
So I'll plug your answers in as you go.
So the 4.03, I think is going to be the 39 yard reception.
Yeah. Okay. You're right. That was a really good play. That was a really good play in the whole.
And they were three yards from the end zone. So,
right.
You're saying the 39 yard pass with a minute to go.
Final answer.
4.03.
Number two. Final answer.
That is your highest EPA play.
Yes.
At the end of this game. All right. What else you got?
How
about that most negative play, the negative 3.9?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at. Well, that's the fumble into the end zone.
See, I don't know. That might be the Tank Bigsby rush for -1 yard. Because that ended we were almost into the red zone, and that ended a
and it was a turnover
drive.
Yeah, yeah. So that's okay. I'm with Crow on that.
The
other was a game-ending turnover, though, that was a touchdown that turned into a turnover.
That's true. And it was in a better position.
To give you a little bit of clarification, just because he fumbled at the one is no different than fumbling at the 20.
Yeah, because it started at the 20.
Play at the 20-yard line, right?
But if the EPA
resulted in a turnover. That's all you really see from that. Where he fumbled
at the EPA starting out would have been higher because he's at the 20. Because the...
Yeah, where was Tank?
But it's not like it started at the one.
Oh, gotcha.
If you had started at the one, your expected points would be almost 7.
Oh, right? Boy. Okay. Yeah. We might need to go back on that 4.03 then, because that play started out on the fifth, like near the 40.
At the Auburn 42.
Yeah, but he got it down to the 2-3. This is tough. This is a tough game. Everyone's listening to us struggle. All I know is that I think, Chief, we can probably say number 5, the Anders Carlson field goal made.
Yes.
Let's call that the second highest EPA, because it's not going to be higher than 3, because it only got us 3 points.
Yeah, it got us 3.
It can't possibly get you
more than 3.
So. And it can't get negative, because it did add points.
You're going to go with the Anders Carlson made field goal as 0.46.
Yes.
EPA?
Yeah.
Okay. So I've got.
Let's work this backwards here, Chief. That would make the offsides on Missouri a 0.41. That'd be
4. Yeah. I think that's great logic. See, us liberal arts majors got this thing called logic.
That's right.
The rapper.
We're working this thing logically.
Yes.
All right. So I've got 3 open still. The Tank Bigsby -1 yard carry, the Harrison Mevis missed field goal at the end of regulation, and the fumble into the end zone.
Yeah. Let me get some clarification on the EPA. Mm-hmm. So it is. How many points you were expected to score on that play?
So it's a subtraction, right? So it's
right.
At the start of the play, there's a given value. So
yep.
If you're on the 1 yard line, your expected points is probably 6.95.
Okay.
You're most likely going to get a touchdown there. If you start on your own one, your expected points is probably 0.1. Not very likely.
Okay.
And at the end of it, wherever you end that play, That's another value. You subtract the initial value from that.
I think we're good on that.
Your EPA is not going to be that high because you're expected to score there.
We're good on that.
It's like Bertrand Russell's football game. It's like two people that are
just trying to educate the people.
No, I get it. I get it. I asked for the clarification. So that Tank Bigsby fourth and one turnover.
You've still got the negative three, or sorry, the negative EPA options left. You've put answers for the positive ones.
Yeah. So
Tank Bigsby minus 3.98, minus 2.76, minus 1.83.
So
which of these was the most negative play for Auburn's EPA?
For anyone's EPA.
Sure. For the offense's EPA, right?
Yeah.
Give me the missed field goal as a minus 2.76.
Yeah.
That's almost 3 points.
The number three. Yeah.
And which then leaves us the fumble out of the back of the end zone and Tank's inability to get 1 yard.
Both of which resulted in turnovers.
Correct. But Tank was at the third.
So the expected points for the offense at the end of that is zero, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what about, Chief, if we do the fumble, the game-losing fumble as 3.98?
Yeah, that's what I think. And
the Tank as 1.83.
Yeah.
So you want to go with the last play as the 2.7?
The worst. Yeah.
I think 6-1.
That was by
far. You followed along with a golf pencil and a piece of paper. I appreciate you helping us out.
While you're driving. Appreciate that.
I'm hopefully on a golf cart on the driving range. I imagine it's just Josh Dubb is just sitting there writing on the back of his.
Well, James is going to come back and tell us why we were wrong later, so I'm sure he's keeping track as well.
He's already thrown his headphones off. All right.
So, Jose
Mourinho style.
So how bad do we misunderstand this?
I'll confirm your answers first, and then we'll get into the results. For the Tank Bigsby minus 1 yard carry, you had a minus 1.83 EPA.
Mm-hmm.
For the Dominic Lovett 39-yard reception inside the five.
Oh no!
The most positive EPA, right? 4.03.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
For the Harrison Mevis missed field goal at the end of regulation, you had minus 2.76.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
For the Missouri offsides on fourth down, you had 0.41 EPA for offense. On the Anders Carlson made field goal. You had
the guy that's not a McPherson. EPA. Yes.
Yes. And then the last one, the Nathaniel Peet fumble into the end zone, a negative 3.98. That was what I had for you guys. Answers coming.
Oh, it would have been better if you just told us which was right and which was wrong. Were they all wrong? Every single one of them?
No, you got some right.
Okay.
Number one, the Tank Bigsby minus 1 yard carry was the largest negative EPA play of the game. Oh, minus 3.98.
We should have gone with your gut, Crow.
Yeah. That was this is where we can kind of diagnose some of these plays, right? Going for it wasn't the wrong call.
I mean, I think it's the
call. We had some struggles with the kicker already.
If you're like, well, if we get this, we get the first down. If we don't, I get fired. So
right. Win-win. You've been talking about fourth and one mentality all 2 year and a half you've been here.
And he went for it twice from a
football decision, it's the right choice.
Well, and I will say we had
the play call was
like
a god awful.
We had early in the game. Well, actually, just the whole game long, I think we did pretty good on.
We started either 2 of 2 or 3 of 3 on fourth down. We
started 2 for 2 on fourth down, fourth and one.
Yeah. But yeah, lining up in a goal line set when Tank Bigsby is getting hit behind the line of scrimmage, every carry didn't work out very well.
Your interior line has just gotten decimated all game.
Right.
What are you doing?
And instead you chose to load the box with 11 men. So yeah, that was the largest negative EPA play of the game at negative 3.98.
So you would say they should have spread it out. See, like
a little bit.
Here's the thing.
Goal line.
They would have spread it out, and there'd been somebody on Twitter, I can already see it, writing, "We're going out of the shotgun on fourth and one."
Yeah.
Which I don't, guys.
You could have gone under center and still had two receivers out there.
The
running
back either gets the ball and then starts running, or he starts running and then gets the ball. He's getting the ball in both positions, going downhill towards
the correct answer is direct snap.
The people who are still upset about shotgun at short yardage, I don't understand how they run. They must run in a different way than I run.
I will say this is the moment that I learned that, Auburn fans actually, they're mentally healthy. because everyone was just like laughing about this.
Yeah, this was when the laughter really.
It was just like everybody's like, "Oh, this dude doesn't want to be here."
Yeah,
that was a $15 million play, is what he was thinking.
Yeah,
I'm about to make $15 million, or I'll keep my job.
Yep. Number two, the Dominic Lovett reception for 39 yards. I'm going to say that was one of the best catches I've seen in a long time in person.
Yeah, it was great.
That was amazing. It was a great catch. It was not bad coverage, and then it was just a great catch.
Yeah.
That was, you guys diagnosed correctly, the highest EPA play at the end of this game at 4.03.
You're good at this.
So that tracks, right? Like the EPA of being at the 42-yard line is not super high. And then getting the ball on the 3-yard line is almost guaranteed.
Almost scored. Touchdown. Yeah. Yeah. So,
you know, if they hadn't kneed it out. I almost put one of the knee downs in here, which I think was like a minus 0.7 EPA.
I mean, I get it. Like, you've got this basically All-American kicker. Like, he should make that.
Did you think the Auburn offense was going to go down and make a field goal with 30 seconds to play?
No, but
overtime score. As touchdown you said, I mean,
if you're thinking I've got the best kicker in the conference, he made all but two field goals last year and made every single extra point last season.
I can probably make a field goal.
Sure, QB sneak it, halfback dive, something. Do the fourth and one play Auburn ran. So that would have been a better success.
I heard that being discussed. For minus five the reason you don't do that is because no matter what the percentage of it is, there is a chance you fumble and turn the ball over.
Turns out that running back fumbles the ball.
Yeah. So that's why you just knee it. Because you can't.
Yeah, run the ball, man. Run the ball.
If I remember correctly, in 05, Chief, 05 Georgia game in Athens, we throw a long pass, our receiver catches it and fumbles it into the end zone, or fumbles it. And we recovered in the end zone, but it was fumbled forward. So we get the ball back on the 2-yard line. And I want to say we took a knee and ran the clock out to kick a field goal to win the game.
Well, let me just put it this way. A very prominent situation for Auburn football about 12-ish years ago. You guys would have sided with Gene Chizik, and I would have sided with Cam Newton. So.
Oh, the, when
right. Cam said run the ball.
Told him to take a knee?
Huh?
That is,
for all the testicles, Cam said, run the ball.
If everybody else knew that Cam was going to run the ball,
right?
He scores on that play. But because he was the only one who knew that he was doing that, I think that's why it didn't work. Yep.
That's why you don't. Like, I would assume you have your little flow chart of what not to do and what to do. That you don't risk turning it over right there.
You didn't have to lose 6 yards, though. Here's the thing. If they go under center and take the knee, you're in the 5 instead of the 10.
Well, they were trying to center it.
That's a harder field goal. Like,
get it between the hashes. Not when it's
dead center. They centered it.
Yeah.
Oh.
That was the first one. They centered it up. The argument against that is even if they turn it over there, Auburn's probably not going all the way down the field. So I get you there.
Right.
But what if you turn over, it slips out, and the guy runs it back for a touchdown? And you,
like the Arkansas A&M game?
Yeah. It was the safest thing to do. It was the
apparently safest not. Thing to do. Apparently not.
Well, you had the last year's best kicker in the SEC.
They lost the – we won the lottery.
You should never trust a road kicker in Jordan-Hare Stadium. I'll leave it at that.
We couldn't trust our kicker.
Was the wind whipping around in there or something? Why?
It was not. I mean, maybe the wind from the laughter of the entire crowd.
No, Anders said he got thrown off his rhythm by a guy because jumping off sides.
Yeah. There was guys where you didn't expect them to be.
And those guys are like golfers where like the slightest thing.
They're insane. Yeah.
The slightest thing in their windup can just. Yeah. Throw everything and out of whack.
Let's get to that missed field goal at the end of regulation. Third and 8, Auburn 9, Harrison Mevis misses the field goal. You guys, again, correctly picked that was the minus 2.76 EPA play. Almost a guarantee field goal, right? Like, if you make that, do the math, If you make that, it's only a positive 0.24 EPA. Right. Number four was the offsides by Missouri in overtime, where Anders missed the field goal. Whether that caused him to miss it or not, we'll never know. But he did miss it on the first try after missing one from a similar distance earlier in the game. This was actually the 0.46 EPA.
No way.
Meaning
that
on the next
we got him. We got him.
The field goal. The field goal itself had a lower EPA for Auburn than the offsides did.
Yeah.
0.41 for the field goal made, 0.46 for the offsides.
How?
The offsides goes 4 yards.
I don't understand how that is. That why? Because we move forward.
It's because you move forward because you're expected to make a field goal from that distance anyways, from the 39, from where that last field goal from the
make. We gained yardage.
But you're not going to get a ton of credit for making it, right? But
Okay. Yeah,
that's kind of the range where going from around 45 to 40, your odds increase a lot for making the field goal. And the last last remaining option, Nathaniel Pete fumbles into the end zone. That was the negative 1.83 EPA play. Okay, so again, it wasn't quite as negative because they started from the 20-yard line. It's not measuring where he fumbled the ball at. But.
Gotcha. Man, that was a boneheaded play of the week.
I feel bad for the kid because, like, man, that was just on him. Nobody hit him.
Yeah, nobody hit him. He made a bad decision to reach out with one arm.
Like, I already heard that so many times this week if he had just done what he was supposed to, if he wasn't trying to reach for it, it's like, come on.
When you reach with two hands, that's what he did wrong.
Or just keep it in your hands and dive.
He didn't even have to dive.
He was going to get tackled into the end zone.
Yeah. He could have just gotten hit into the end zone or would have been out at the one. And at that point, man.
Yeah.
I felt horrible for him because, you know, it's like it goes from best run of his career.
Yeah.
Game winning run in overtime.
Yeah. He was the dude that was the Division II guy, right?
Yeah. A 20-yard carry in overtime, which should have ended the game.
Yeah. You didn't see that at home, Ryan. He was a Division II guy that they brought in.
His first season?
His first two seasons, I want to say.
No, like his first year at Mizzou.
Yeah. I think he walked on, maybe. Like it was some crazy situation. And had a great game.
He did have an okay game.
Till that point.
Yeah. The play that we didn't even talk about in here, which didn't really show up in EPA because it was just an incompletion, was the near interception on third down before the field goal in overtime.
Oh, yeah. Like,
it could have been over right there. Almost every single one of these is how did Auburn not lose the game?
I got kind of perturbed at a lot of outside people's, it's that Auburn luck again. I'm like,
no.
Man, no, you didn't watch this game. It was not.
This was Missouri bad luck, not Auburn luck.
For one, I don't consider us lucky here. For two, we didn't,
There's this thing in like creationism called the science of fine tuning. It's not a bad science, but it's basically the number of things that have to be exactly the way they are to sustain life on this planet.
Sure.
And it's just this, it's just absurd number of things that have to be, like, if the planet is a quarter of an inch tilted one way on its axis more than it is, there can't be life on the planet.
Right.
The other way, it can't, blah, blah, blah. And all of those things have to be exactly the way they are for any life, much less the life we currently have on the planet, to flourish. And I feel like this game, for Auburn to win this game the way that they did, the number of stupid things that had to have happened is so long. And the odds that all of them would happen the way they happened are so crazy. A kicker who doesn't miss field goals missed a chip shot. A running back who doesn't fumble much fumbles out of the back of the end zone.
Like,
interception gets dropped.
Yeah.
And offsides on your missed field goal. Your fourth and one without a coach, not getting it on fourth and one.
Yeah. Like, I would – the reason I did not – like, I'm not down with this whole Auburn luck thing that these people say. It's because both of these teams were bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it didn't have anything to do with luck. It was just two teams just bad, so bad until they couldn't be bad anymore.
Yeah, like, it's a little bit of confirmation bias, right? Like, it's Auburn saying, oh, all these things broke that way, so of course we were supposed to win. No. Just somebody had to lose.
These two mistake-prone teams. One of them made a mistake.
Literally, one of them has to win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that's not a opportunity meets preparation kind of thing. That's the other team had bad luck.
Yeah, the other team just, I don't know. I don't know what they did. Neither team looked good. Neither team, guys were playing hard. I don't want to.
Oh, this was 100% not on the players. Like, I was laughing at coaching decisions on almost every snap. There's not targeting Landon King at all this year, except for the one time.
What is the deal with,
like, I don't understand. I don't understand it either. He made a great catch.
The Landon King thing has got out of the point now where it's borderline. Like,
our coach is trying to get fired, guys. Our coach is trying to get fired. I am. 100%.
We've joked about point shaving in the past, but
Our coach is trying to get fired so he can take that money and go down to on his redneck trip down to Cancun for 6 months until he gets another job. That's all that's happening here.
So when I say I was laughing a lot during this game, it started, I think this was early in the second half. I turned to my friend I'm sitting with, Jeremy, he's not listening. and say, hey, we're about to have a chunk play here. Auburn had just gotten the ball back on a punt, like at the 15-yard line or so. We're gonna get a chunk play, get to midfield, and then we're gonna go three and out. And I think on the second play of the drive, we tried double pass that went forward.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then the receiver either realized it, Coy Moore either realized that was a forward pass, or someone on the sideline was standing there next to him saying, hey, don't throw the ball. Because he got the ball in his right hand, like he was going to look downfield and then realize, I shouldn't do that. Runs essentially a reverse back 5 to 10 yards.
Our best play of the game, up, I think.
Gets. What's that?
I think it might have been our best play of the game.
I think it was. It's great. And gets like 30 yards on the play.
Yeah.
And the end result of it is Robbie Ashford trying to go for a block and hurting his wrist and missing two drives.
Yeah.
Like it was that kind of game, right?
Yeah.
Even with these work,
yeah. Auburn luck, people, explain that. Like, explain that.
Yeah, explain it's being not, on your fourth string quarterback and third string center.
Yeah, it's luck. Get out of here. friend of the show, Murph, and I were talking on Sunday, and it was Saturday. It was after the game. I think rightfully said we should just hold a joint press conference on Sunday and fire both of the coaches.
Yeah. Missouri and Auburn should have held a joint press conference. Apologize
for what just happened.
Like, look, here's the deal. We're sorry. And you have Harsin and Drinkwitz sitting there like kids in the principal's office with their heads down. Like,
the game went quickly, so like it's not the worst bad football. Like it was at least semi-entertaining bad football.
If I need to give a compliment to Brian Harsin, is that we ran the ball a lot. It didn't go anywhere. We ran into the middle of a line that wasn't blocking, but they ran the ball a lot.
He heard everybody talking about how Tank didn't get enough carries last week. He was like, look, you want to see some carries? We're going to run it every play.
Either this guy's the dumbest man alive or he's the smartest man alive. That's
the stat that Ferg shared with the world yesterday. Tank had 44 carries on the or 44 yards on the day and 66 yards after contact.
That's unbelievable, man. That is unbelievable, absurd.
Yeah. Oh,
God.
This is I said it in the Slack. You know, a lot of teams like to do cool things like wear fun uniforms for anniversaries of memorable seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Auburn's 10-year anniversary of 2012 tribute is going to
be remarkable.
It is. It's going way too
far. Performance art at this point, no. We've set ourselves up for it. Lean into it.
We're worse. This is a worse product.
Georgia, can't have worse record. Georgia could possibly beat us worse than A&M did that year. Yeah.
If Georgia had if Georgia's coach was more offensively geared, they 100% would.
Georgia's probably going to beat us like Alabama beat us that year.
It's like 38-0.
And
like
if Alabama it ends with a player setting like a statistical milestone at the end of that game to piss off the opposing head coach, great.
What you mean, like
that was Trey Mason getting 1,000th yard on the last play of the game? Yeah.
Well, I got news for you. There will not be a 1,000-yard rusher on this game on this team.
We might like
1,000 yards after contact is what we're shooting for, Chief.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
You might finish with a
put an asterisk on there.
Yeah.
I got a feeling that Tank Bigsby's going to be in the NFL like Alvin Kamara, where everybody's like, "Where did he go to college?"
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't hear about him in college. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I that you picked somebody that went to Alabama and Tennessee as where did he go to college?
Well, yeah, but I don't remember Alvin Kamara blowing Tennessee up. Like, it wasn't like he was the greatest thing since sliced bread at Tennessee.
Yeah, he's fine. He wasn't what he has become. That's for sure. Yeah. Well, thanks to Tank for sticking with us this year. Sorry, it's turned out. I hate to write the eulogy for this team right now, but I mean,
hey, we're 3-1. Goals are still in front of us.
Everything's still in front of us.
First in the SEC.
Hey, we are not mathematically eliminated from the West.
We can still make the college football playoff, boys.
Got a lead on Arkansas.
Got a lead. God. All that comes to an end this week as Auburn takes on the LSU Tigers, who travel
through. We will not be below 500 after this game.
And guys, to preview this game, we're going to do a what are you looking forward to?
Do we want to hit a commercial?
Hit a commercial.
Before we do that, one second. Oh. Derek Hall, you're amazing. 3 sacks, a pick, just playing it out of his mind.
He had a great game. Yeah. You're
Derek Hall and Tank Bigsby should never have to buy a drink in the city of Auburn, Alabama.
I'm pretty sure they won't.
Echo Leota also played a great
game. Echo Leota going to also be one of those guys who's playing for the Bills in a couple of years, and you're like, oh, yeah. And he's like a 4-time Pro Bowler. Except that they got rid of the Pro Bowl.
Pro Bowl games. In about 5 more years, they're just going to have Survivor NFL edition. It's going to be great.
That is going to be great.
They should play like paper football.
Let's say a quick commercial break. We'll come back and play a game about LSU.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prop G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
And we're back. I don't know where we are on this podcast.
37-20.
Oh, wow. Boy, it's not as long as it felt. let's see. Unless you
cheat said.
What are you looking forward to about this week's game? And what do you expect is going to happen? So, Chief, first, what are you looking forward to about this week's game?
Our buddy Zach's coming up from Baton Rouge to cook for us. And we're going to have a big old tailgate in the rain. And it's going to be great. I plan to do a little post-game jambalaya right out of a Ziploc bag again because it is delicious and it eats just fine out of that.
Is this like the cheap version of like boxed wine where you slap the bag but like jambalaya comes out?
sure. No, this is a reference to the last LSU game we had here, and Zach cooked a bunch of stuff and we packed up a lot of it because some of the tailgate had left, but I decided I was hungry, so I started I was like, hey, hand me that bag. I just started eating out of the bag. So
I got sent home with like 2 pounds of it, and it was delicious.
Yeah, it was amazing. So I'm excited. We might get a little pasta lia. We're going to get some shrimp etouffee, I hear. It's going to be good. If you are in town, come stop by the South Quad parking deck. Say hello. If you're going to brave what looks like it's going to be a pretty wet day. Not quite sure yet. You know, hurricanes do what they want, but it is looking pretty wet, but we're still going to have some fun. This is the first time really that I just like, I don't even really care about this game. Who cares?
What do you expect is going to happen?
I expect that we're not going to win because they have a good quarterback.
The transition straight into what I'm looking forward to is seeing Jayden Daniels, that said quarterback Chiefs talking about. Quarterback at Arizona State in the last couple of years in the same signing class as Bo Nix, actually. I think one spot behind him. He's had his struggles. I'll tell you what, though. I'd take a stat line this year in a heartbeat. 73% passing, 835 yards, 6 touchdowns, no picks.
If we had a quarterback complete 73% of his passes in a game, I might self-immolate.
And running for 260 yards, 6 yards a carry, and 2 more scores.
Well, there is probably one thing that separates him from our quarterbacks in that he probably has a pretty decent offensive line.
They didn't last year. If they do this year, it's because –
they're starting 2 true freshmen on the offensive line after they got a bunch of transfers in the spring. Here's the thing. They did what we wanted Auburn to do, and it was bring in a bunch of portal guys. If the freshmen beat them, great. If they don't, they don't. So
I was going to say,
I'm not saying they have a good offensive line. I'm saying they have a better offensive line. They made better of a situation than we did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Comparing them to ours,
I'm not saying their offensive line is worse than ours.
No, I don't think.
I think they were in a similar spot to Auburn when we played them last year.
Okay.
And they took the steps to improve that our coaching staff did not. So.
Yeah. Well,
Ryan, what do you think is going to happen?
I think that I'm going to have pneumonia on Sunday. That's kind of what I'm anticipating. So. We'll spend all day out in the rain, not really care about it. And
probably wear a rain jacket.
Yeah, I've got a poncho.
I've got like the heavy ponchos in the car, and I'm going to layer up under it with another rain jacket. So
what you're going to want to see is if they have a rain suit at Academy.
Get you some Dry Joy, Chief. That's a Foot Joy's rain golf gear.
Yuck. Amazing. What you're going to want to do, Ryan, is you're going to get 2 pairs of socks and put 1 pair of socks in each of your pockets of your rain jacket. And then at halftime of the game,
my socks are on my feet.
Yeah, at halftime of the game, take those wet, nasty socks you've been standing in and change it to some dry socks. And at the end of the game, take those wet socks off and put your 3rd pair of socks on for the day. Buddy, you will feel like a champion by the end of that game.
I'm going to be walking around swinging wet socks at people. That's a pretty satisfying, but safe thing to hit people with.
2 of those pairs of socks go to the garbage, I'm pretty sure, in this scenario.
I plan to take 2 changes of clothes. One to change into after tailgating in the rain to get a little dry before going in. And then one when we get back to change into.
That's a good move, man. A
couple pair of shoes. It's nice parking right next to the tailgate.
Stay dry. Keep your feet dry.
Crow, what are you looking forward to?
Let's see. This weekend, I will not be watching this game. I'll be on a retreat. So that's going to be a good time. Be camping out. That's what I'm looking forward to, because I'm not going to have to watch this game. What do I expect is going to happen? I honestly, guys, expect when we meet this time next week, we will get to do a coaching candidates program.
That's when the fun begins.
I believe coach search season, SZN, will start next Monday.
I think you're probably right, but stranger things have happened. Stupider things have happened.
Bro, if he wins this game, like I was thinking about that.
I'm telling you, like a 12-8 special.
If he wins this game in a hurricane, and
this game's like 7-0, 30 in the morning because of rain delays.
Here's the thing, guys. The team we played this last week had a really terrible quarterback, and I don't think maybe it'd be a little
quarterbacks much to get hurt.
Well, that's true.
Sometimes it's like not even playing the sport that they are under scholarship for.
No, sometimes it's just doing
sometimes I'm
activities.
Jesus, you not happy about it?
He's gonna be well rested. He'll be well rested for the next guy.
Yeah, it's hard for me to believe that we'll win this one. I'm a guy that used
to receiver catch a touchdown pass in this game, because so far we haven't had one. Still sitting on 0.
I'm gonna go with yes. I'm gonna go. Here's how I'm expecting this game to play out. Early on, we're gonna feel like, oh my god,
we're a good football team.
We might be able to do this. And it's going to be a little chippy early on. We're gonna catch a touchdown pass, and we're gonna think, oh boy, here we go. And anybody that's still hanging on to hope that this whole thing's going to work out is going to be fired up. And then
I think there
a receiver, 38 special going on.
I think a
holding on loosely and not let go.
I think a receiver will catch a pass because so many people now. Thanks to people on Twitter pointing out that statistic.
That was talking, by the way.
Yeah, Ryan, are talking about it. And I honestly believe this coaching
staff. People are talking.
I believe this coaching staff reads Twitter and is like, oh, Tank didn't get enough carries? Well, he's going to get 15 carries in the first drive. Oh, receiver hasn't catched a pass yet into end zone? We're just going to throw nothing but passes to receivers in the end zone and get into the 20. Then one of them is going to catch it. So I think it's going to happen. We might lose 40-7, but that 7 is going to be a receiver.
In the first quarter.
In the first quarter. On script. On a fade route. Just to make us all want to gouge our eyeballs out.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be not fun. You know,
so it's not going to be on a fly sweep to John Sandwich Roker? Is that what you're
saying? the weather could have a huge effect on this game. It could get weird. I just don't think it's going to get that weird. Like at the end of the day, most of the time, the best team wins, and I do not think we have the best team. So that's just is what it is.
Oh, speaking of the best team, Trayvon Diggs just picked off Daniel Jones. That will be it. Cowboys are going to win.
Oh man. I was talking to my guy, Ronaldo, whose 40th birthday is today. The pod tonight.
El Phenomeno.
And he's a big Cowboys fan. Lives in the Houston area now. He was real upset about how good the boys were making old Daniel Jones look. So
well they sacked him a lot of times. The Giants offensive line looked the Cowboys defensive line looked like a pack of wild dogs. In a lot of this game, it was like 25 pressures and like 6 sacks. It was a lot of that.
I did mention that I think I thought that someone had just put a curse on the Cowboys because they had started to look like they might be good again. And then, everything started going wrong for them. And he said, yeah, you want to know who did? I know exactly who did it.
Jerry Jones?
Who? He said, Jerry Jones.
Jerry Jones. Yeah. He built that stadium. The Cowboys have not been good since that stadium got announced. Like, not even built, just announced.
Well, so. They did go, forever without making a playoff game. So.
My first memory of the Cowboys in the playoffs was Tony Romo fumbling that field goal. Thanks.
Just for you. Sorry, I said that wrong. They didn't go forever without making a playoff. They
went winning a playoff game.
Winning
a finally. They're not the Lions.
Yeah.
Well, you guys. Either way, something's gonna happen. It's gonna be very Auburn.
Go Tigers!
So
that's just shrinking the countdown to basketball season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Say goodnight.